Aí chego How is you to know that? I used to be able to say that number like perfectly when I was younger. Yeah,
it's pretty funny. Watch it,
just watch it. You're the one. You're.
Oh,
more dialogue than
I remember seeing that and make me think, wow, if I ever got to do something like that, I wouldn't be able to do it because that's scared the crap out of me.
Yeah.
This is another change that makes complete all sense to me. Is the text on the thing right here? It's in Hatti. It was in English in the original version.
I never noticed that.
That's
more female advice.
That was a great one.
You're a braver man than we are for
it's a can of worms. This is huge.
No. I mean, obviously, it's completely totally sexist.
Yeah.
You know, it just kind of shows his character right there.
Yeah.
And how he views her right now.
Can I get this walking carpet out of my
way? When you're still alive. I love the shadow loop going off of it.
Yeah.
It's like he's a little kid in between two parents that are just arguing. It's like he's so...
Yeah, that's a very
so
good
bad.
Point.
He's like a little kid. His parents are arguing. Yes, Hatties in English are the two official languages of Star Wars. It's like French and English are the official languages of the world.
Okay, Geek.
Can you not do that?
I'm looking for something to hit him with, by the way. You can't see it, but that's what I'm doing.
But I like is that we're getting like little hints of sort of the Jedi power, you know, here and there. And you know, it's never something like big and massive and exploding.
Yeah.
You know, it's always sort of subtle movements, you know, and subtle things here and there, you know. He's never bring his power to bear to, like, blow people up, you know.
Wasn't the decision to kill Al Genisov made at the last, like, made towards the end of filming? I think it wasn't a conscious decision going into the movie. I know that much.
Huh. I don't know.
You not listen to the commentary?
I've heard the commentary before, but it's been a while.
Did they add more guys?
Yeah.
Yes,
oh,
did.
Yeah.
That shot
it
right
used
there.
To be just a few. That became a few hundred. But,
you see TIE Fighter.
But, no, I don't remember that. But, I mean, you know, the thing is, it's like, that's sort of a convention in, again, this type of fantasy, the mentor character being killed.
Right.
But originally he was not going to be killed. But, I think that was the thing, like, Lucas realized he didn't have anything to do with the character after the stuff on the Death Star.
Yeah.
This is always one of my favorite music videos. Right?
Yeah, it is.
Great.
It really is.
Again, this scene just... I would always think...
Will have a screen?
What if I had to do this? Oh, yeah, sorry, that's true. Yeah. You know, could I have the balls to do this sort of swinging thing?
Yeah.
This scene is dripping with cliches, but it's so good.
This entire movie is dripping with cliches. I mean, let's be honest.
He's just sitting here, don't get
excited. I think the one in Empire raises even more questions than red flags. I'm sorry. The one in Empire is much worse. It's okay, awkward. I mean, that's just a kiss for good luck. That's one.
That's a little friendly peck on the cheek.
The other one in Empire is like, okay.
That's like the robot chicken pieces. It was like.
That's a new line.
10, 15 seconds. What were he in bed with?
Oh, yeah.
That's
this is such a mistake.
Yeah, that is awesome.
Yeah,
that is hilarious. The close the blast doors was
added. Yes. And in addition, I don't agree with.
It's kind of a. I like the program they showed Al Guinness making that day.
Yeah, he looks so cool with that hood up and everything, and like he's just. He's Obi-Wan Kenobi.
Very well shot, I think.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. The hero shot, I think.
Talking while fighting.
Yeah.
Not like we hadn't seen it before, but this kind of really brought it to us.
Mm-hmm. This one's an Empire.
Yeah.
That's the best. I think the best fight is an Empire.
Oh yeah, definitely.
It's brought to another level in Jedi, but the best fight.
No, I mean the best one's definitely in.
Mm-hmm.
Just as my favorite line.
I love how they worked that into that one episode of Buffy, Conversations with Dead People. Do you not remember that, Ryan?
Yeah. Yeah, of course I remember that.
Yeah. They worked that into that episode of Buffy.
You're forgetting, you're underestimating my level of geekiness. The Nerds of Doom.
Yeah. My favorite villains on Buffy. And, you don't agree with that.
But. I mean, it's like,
I think the Nerds are the best villains.
They're the most entertaining though.
I never really liked that part right there where you see them facing, you're facing.
Well,
plus it's like seeing the lightsaber head on like a glowing dot at one point.
That's a cool shot.
Yeah,
anything of these two from the side while they're fighting is just a really neat image. I think.
Mm-hmm.
Like that right there, that's awesome.
Yeah. That's right. Okay, the one thing I was going to bring up earlier, the music when we heard the them coming up to Death Star and being pulled into Death Star. I'm curious as to what that would feel like
with the Imperial Mars. That's an interesting. Wasn't at one point Lucas was going to do the DVDs with the Imperial March laced into the score of New Hope? Was that not something you'd be?
It seems like I heard something about it, and I'm
profoundly
glad they didn't do.
So as am I. This is the shot right here. Where is it? Right there.
Yeah.
In the very original version, and it was not carried, it was not fixed until the DVD.
Oh, okay.
Darth Vader just has like a wooden sword.
Ooh.
Huh. Go back and like watch the 97 version if you have that on tape somewhere. He's got like a.
Well, it'd be in the original version too, right?
Yeah, exactly. Okay. So there you go.
Well, I've got the 97 special edition still, so. Yeah. This movie is 30 years old.
As are we. I'm a Baptist.
As am I.
I'm
the only one here who's 30.
I'm a Baptist 30.
Yeah. Not too much longer, Steve. You're wearing.
How much have you done with your life?
Were you asking?
I'm laughing around. But I got to ask you too.
Well, Brian is
working on stuff. Taking a little longer than usual, but, I'm making Stanley Kubrick look like Steven Spielberg as a filmmaker, but hey.
Come on, buddy, we're not here yet.
Huh?
So,
yeah.
I used to have a recording of this on VHS.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And they recorded it, my dad's recorded on the HBO. But,
I think I did. Had that
scene. I had mine off the Disney Channel.
And it would end, like, right here.
Really?
It was totally cut off.
Oh,
it was totally cut off.
That's
devastating.
Yeah, it was
so
bad.
And we actually had two versions, so we had that one and another one. And you really couldn't tell, at least as a kid, I couldn't tell which one it was. So I was always a guess as to did I get the one with the ending cut off, or did I get the one?
This is a good cue. I mean, this is really a good example of what you were saying earlier about the editing, Ron, where it's like,
mm-hmm.
They
they did not know how to edit this, and it's like,
right,
what Lucas did was he put together a reel of a World War II dogfight,
mm-hmm,
to reference. And I mean, that was the only way they could get the pacing right. Is the only way they could get the pacing right for those fights. And mm-hmm, like, you know, I mean, if you look at the reel they put together, it's almost shot by shot.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, very cool.
No, right there.
Don't get cocky.
Right there.
What now?
Right there is the copy that I have it in, by the Lucas, you know, happiness. Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
that's where it is right there.
I got him!
Like, hated that.
Could be worse. Could go to, like, Jaws the Revenge or something like that.
We're recording over Star Wars, Jaws the Revenge. Someone will pay. Heads will roll.
I used to like that movie, too.
Probably
was
no
accounting
for taste.
Yeah, I was young and stupid, like that. One of the many times C-3PO overstates his face in these movies. He's got a lot of them in this one. Yeah. She's somebody's sister. Somebody on this this ship, as a matter of fact. I believe it was Chewie, wasn't it?
I think no, it wasn't the street yet.
R2?
Yeah.
Actually, aren't they brother and sister? I've opened up a whole can of worms.
Cause like they go on to get married and have kids in the book. Do they not?
Yes, they do. Thanks, Dad. Thanks, Dad.
And Liv goes on to be a Jedi.
Yeah, I always like that line. Honestly,
I care. So someday you.
Yeah, I did like his.
No.
The acting in his eyes, they did a good right there.
Yeah.
I mean, people get on Mark Hamill about being a bad actor, but I mean.
He's good in these movies.
Yeah, in these movies, he's fine.
He's good in these movies.
He's superb.
Yeah, I mean, but he's good.
Don't fuck with the Jedi Master Sith. They're winning a rating.
Huh?
I like the Rebel Vegas in the original rating.
How's it different?
It's way different.
I don't remember that. It's had a $10 million budget when it first came out.
Mm-hmm.
It was $2 million of which was on effects.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, especially when you consider they'd use half of it and didn't have a single usable shot.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Man, that's cool. And you just gotta imagine what that sequence would like. Even a sequence like that, like in the Wrath of Khan, you know,
Well, the thing with the terraforming thing in Wrath of Khan was like the first use of that, you know, real computer, photorealistic computer animation.
Right. So you're saying that the time between what we just saw there and what we saw in Wrath of Khan really wasn't that great.
Mm-hmm.
that still made a difference.
This is surprisingly simple, this whole concept.
Now, the question being, it's like, what possible good does this port have other than giving the rebels an opportunity to blow up the Death Star?
None whatsoever.
Is it some sort of the gospel? Maybe,
yeah.
Maybe the trash can that is. You never know.
Yeah, well, you know.
He's terrible as well.
Precisely to the reactor system.
Well,
why would you do that?
It's an exhaust port for the reactor. So as the reactor creates,
this whole thing is like acknowledged brilliantly in the Emperor Robot Chicken thing.
Yeah,
like
that was hilarious.
That was my MySpace video for the longest time.
Yeah, I know. I remember. It's always hysterical.
Oh, Jesus, crying.
What do you call Padme in that? I can't remember.
Panda or Panamame or whatever the hell it was. He's like, so funny. I'll tell him a little whiny little bitch you were about Panda Bear or Panda Man. What the hell her name was. But she's crying.
So,
I don't know, Colt, I'm not going to eat it. Cherry Coke.
I'm still liking the pacing that's going on here. It's kind of taking a kind of big, huge action sequence that we're kind of going down.
Yeah,
sort of character development on the first. And now we've got a little bit more character.
A little bit better position.
Mm-hmm.
And now we're going to be ramping back up. It's just really, really well done.
Yeah.
I keep reminding myself, this is not only for Best Picture.
Yep.
As well as Best Director, Best Original Screenplay.
That's
one for editing and special effects and score. Supporting actor.
They won 7 Oscars. Lost to Annie Hall, the Woody Allen movie.
Who got Best Director that year? Was it Woody Allen?
Yeah.
Okay. Here's a little addition to the scene with Big that I do not agree with.
I don't mind it.
I do.
I mean, it's alright. I mean, you know, it's the least.
If you're gonna have this, you should have.
It's the least objectionable of all the additions.
It's
for me.
If you're gonna have this scene coming up with Big, you should have the scene earlier with Big that was filmed.
Yeah.
You don't remember the DVD or the DVD ROM, the CD ROM I had with like all the behind. Well, you had that scene, which was a good scene.
Wasn't it? Wouldn't that have been like the opening of the movie?
It was. Well,
like
the studio wanted Lucas to like shoot all the stuff like on Tatooine, like to open up the movie with. And thankfully, he went with the stuff he went with. But if you're gonna include this, you should have included the scene earlier to establish this relationship. I have such a problem with this scene. He works better as like an anonymous pilot, I think.
But see,
now you're kind of
fight though. It's like you have them interacting like they're friends. So, I mean, you know, this just sort of solidifies that. I mean, I agree with you. The addition of the earlier big scene will have helped this scene, but I don't find it completely objectionable. But I think.
Mm-hmm.
Excuse me.
Watching the movie again. Yeah. Well, we just saw yet again some more relationship establishment between C-3PO and R2-D2. It's just establishing these relationships and like bringing the character and relationship complexity to deeper levels just seems to happen so effortlessly. In this movie, you know, it's just a couple lines of dialogue, and you already kind of understand more about the characters, you know, and you just don't see that all the time. It's almost like it's happening by accident.
Yeah.
was wondering about the design of these, why they were designed just the way that they were. You know,
I've heard or read something about it, but I can't remember.
You know, the ships don't worry, because we spend most of the time in space, they don't have to worry about being aerodynamic, you know. But, It always interests me to see how guys have designed these ships for all these different
things. Well, the science in this is not entirely accurate anyway.
Oh, right.
Well, aren't we coming up on a cue that, like, gets kind of muted in, like, the DVD version?
I didn't notice it, but...
I totally noticed it. It's like, anytime you watch this, you know, you're not talking over it. The music is completely drowned out by the sound effect.
Yeah, I did kind of see what you mean.
Well, it's coming up.
Yep.
Starting a little bit right here, and it's just like, it just gets... And I believe it's right here. It's coming up. Sorry.
Oh, yeah. Oh, God.
Isn't that just...
Ew.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Ew.
Isn't that just terrible?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Of course. It's arguably worse than what happened in episode 2.
Mm-hmm.
But, I don't know.
I do like the sort of the talking and the kind of chatter in the band.
Oh, I do too. No, I like it too.
I think it was really well done. You know, come across the actors, try to know their fire, all the stuff that was kind of realistic in that situation. You know, it didn't have to be that detailed.
And listen to Ben Burtt talk about how the sound was developed for the scene, like particularly the radio song.
Yeah.
Just ridiculous. Just Ben Burtt is just a mad genius.
Yeah, it sounds like he's going great.
Yeah.
I never really understood that picture until a month later.
Yeah, I know.
Star slowly coming around the planet.
Just randomly firing, I guess, is what his feelings are telling him.
Right.
Just randomly fired anything.
Trust your feelings. Okay.
Luke, you took out one of your own pilots. I was told to trust my feelings. That's what my feelings told me.
I didn't like him anyway.
That's all right. We can get another one. There's a shot coming up that was changed from the original version, but I love the original version. It's this one.
That one right there.
The original version was much cooler.
Yeah. Well, it kind of came like that, and it was a little slower.
Yeah, they were like suspended in space, and it's like. That was my favorite shot in the entire movie.
Yeah,
they completely redid it for the special edition.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, no!
Are we supposed to be grateful that George Lucas finally released these original versions on the
I am.
Are we supposed to? I mean, like, I mean, you look at the sound and the picture quality is not.
Well, okay. I mean,
that's the thing.
Look,
like, I mean, Are we supposed to be grateful for that? I mean, come on. I mean,
he doesn't regard the original movies as his vision. He doesn't.
I'm aware of that.
He doesn't. Okay. He doesn't have as much respect for the original film as we do.
Mm-hmm.
And B, he doesn't necessarily. I kind of figure. Kind of get. Gather that maybe he doesn't necessarily have respect for his audience,
mm-hmm.
and just knows that don't buy whatever he puts out,
mm-hmm.
when it comes to Star Wars.
Mm-hmm.
I was profoundly grateful when Spielberg released the original version of E.T.
Right.
And I mean,
alongside the special edition.
Alongside the special edition, even though it was him by the box set, which they were both originally going to be only in. But,
When I
found that out, I just jumped for joy. And the fact of the matter is...
Did you actually jump for joy?
No. But
I
figured
really
it
would want to see it.
I can do it now. But,
But
yeah. Going back to what you said,
yeah, and the original version of E.T. is good. Is
he did. That's what I was about to say, is that he paid it the respect it deserved.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, you know.
Lucas does not do that with these movies.
Because of the fact they know that regardless, people are going to lap it up anyway.
And that's the thing.
So,
when he released the original versions, he released them alongside the special editions. Because he did not want to see the original version outsell the special edition.
No.
That's really what I
believe. Oh, you're talking about the DVD release.
Yeah, the two disc
yeah.
thing with like
yeah.
the original version and the special edition.
Yeah.
He released them alongside each other because he did not want to see the original version outsell the special edition.
Yeah.
That's my theory. That's my little.
I mean, I don't know if I would necessarily go that
far. You can see him thinking that, though. You all know.
I can, yes. But
that's a totally plausible theory, I think.
Yes.
That's a totally
but
valid
that
theory.
Said, I mean, you know, I do think that,
I've always been about of two minds about Lucas myself. You know, some of the things in the movies you haven't agreed with, but then he lets all the fans stay out there. And he basically said fans can do whatever they want.
Yeah.
Not a big deal. So
he was really.
You have to love him for that.
And he was totally fine. You know, like all the recent parodies they were done. The Family Guy and Chicken Robot Chicken. He was like, he helped out with those.
Totally open to that. So you know, I have to be. Because you have to kind of hate him for stuff. You kind of like him for stuff.
Yeah.
We are talking over probably one of the just a beautifully edited space battle. You know, I mean, we're going back and forth from the bombers to you know guys blowing up. Guys flying in formation, and you know,
mm-hmm.
it's just really, really, really good stuff happening.
It's the almost there, guys.
Yeah. Hold.
Hey,
some of the video games that look like that.
Some of the guys sitting around the control room remind me of THX a little bit.
Yeah.
Oh gosh, you remember when we got together to watch THX?
Yeah. First time I watched that movie, it's like, oh my god.
Yeah, I know. We all fell asleep.
Yeah. I mean, not to say that it's a bad movie, it's a very good movie. But, it's pretty, hardcore.
Mm-hmm. Interesting movie.
Yeah, very interesting. Very interesting stuff.
Mm-hmm. Those are the kind of movies the director just wants to get into again.
Sorry.
Ooh. I should see him wedge in the dig.
Yep.
Wedge, played by Dennis Lawson, who is Ewan McGregor's uncle.
I was gonna say he still is, as far as I know.
Yeah.
But Ewan McGregor, who obviously played Obi-Wan in the prequels.
I thought that was kind of neat when I found that out.
Yeah. Wedge, a character you surprised to kind of see in the all three roles.
He's the only other guy besides the original cast that makes him survive the whole trilogy.
Yeah.
He's in the Ewok celebration at the end.
Yep.
That is
really
good.
He is.
Yeah.
We see him without his helmet, so you don't recognize him really.
I mean, Hanks has done a really good job with this fight scene, you know, stopping the lasers and that kind of being sort of an ominous signal,
mm-hmm.
you know,
yeah.
and using it more than, you know, they did one time and then they did it the second time and you really know, you know, it's, you know, they're damaging the engine, Yeah, she's really, really well done. You know, I always wonder if I'm going to be making something like this myself, would I have it together to pay enough attention to the detail that these guys are paying attention to?
Yeah.
And make something this complex to still work. You know, is it really just all Lucas, or is it somebody else that's coming up with some of these types of ideas?
I think a lot of it's in Lucas.
Right.
But
it's so much attention to detail.
And we should point out, considering, despite all of the, all the flack we've given him in this commentary and the other one, it's like he is a good filmmaker. He's a good technical filmmaker. He's a very good technical filmmaker.
He's a good storyteller.
And he's a good storyteller. This is a bona fide classic for that very reason. But I think a lot of it was as much the time away from filmmaking for him and directing that is part of the reason episodes 1 and 2 were such a letdown, because of the fact that, like we said earlier, when by episode 3, he's on his game.
Mm-hmm.
He is completely on his game, and I completely see what you mean. Like, this is the movie, but also it's like episode 3 is where the biggest part of the story really happens too. So it's like, you have to get that one. So, and I think he was waiting. I think that was the one he was working towards in the trilogy, prequel trilogy. But
he probably should have gotten somebody else to direct the first two. And write.
Or at least, help co-write.
He had a co-writer on episode 2.
Yeah, but it didn't really.
No, it didn't help. No.
Such a cheer in the
all clear, came out close and go home. I have to yell out that line every time I listen to this anyway.
This is a fantastic cue by John Williams. I was gonna mention that earlier. When they're starting their final runs and stuff like that. And it's really the personal role. Okay, I didn't mention it earlier. The changes in the explosion.
Yes.
Good, bad, indifferent.
There's when they're fighting the TIE fighters as they're escaping the Death Star. I think the last TIE fighter, that explosion was a little bit too gratuitous to me. Some of the planned explosions, that Death Star blowing up and whatnot, some of those explosions seemed just right.
Yeah.
Made bigger, Mm-hmm. Some of the other explosions seemed like, oh, this would be a little bit too much.
He says right there, he says,
That's why I felt when he said it. Mm-hmm. Where he said it.
How are we doing over there?
We're doing good.
Okay.
Despite what my computer is saying.
Hey, but he's a donor. That's good. He puts that on his license?
Probably. Actually, he did drive the speeder earlier, didn't he?
He's a gears and circuits guy. Oregon knows who the gear is.
Yeah. This is like my favorite end crash too.
Oh, yeah.
This is the best one, without a doubt. The iconic one.
I like the one in episode 3 today. Episode 3, I think, is the second one.
Yeah. I don't know.
Oh, come on. Well, Empire is pretty darn good too.
Empire is good. Empire overall is the best score.
Yes.
But this, just, how can you not like this?
How can you not? The end credits stuff in Empire is just hands down the best. Just because it's so somber and it's so involving and anyway, we'll talk about that when we get to Empire.
Yeah.
We're not that much to talk about.
Not really. Did we really have a whole lot to... we had something to say in this one, but it's me and Lava was just us watching the movie.
Yeah, but the usually have the end credits and then parties today.
Yeah.
It's so tragic.
Mm-hmm.
The best hap, like, you know, like, they tried to achieve this, I think, in episode one. It was interesting in episode one what they did.
It was alright.
It was crazy.
I mean, their episode one was modeled clearly in terms of the structure off of episode four.
Mm-hmm.
Very much so.
I think it's vicious.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I mean, definitely. Definitely.
Roger Rabbit.
Yeah, I guess so. I mean, there's not really a whole lot to say. I mean, it's still a great
movie.
Yeah, it's still a great movie. I mean, I love it as much as I ever did. I mean, you know, we'll have issues with the special edition, obviously, but I mean, you know, it doesn't change the basic story. I mean, I still think this is definitely my favorite of the movies, but I mean, I do think it's...
John Barry! He did...
Okay.
Sorry.
It's all right. I do think it's probably the best as well, just because of the fact that I don't know. I mean, it's kind of hard to explain. I mean, mm-hmm. Empire, in a lot of ways, is better, but... John Dykstra. How could we go without mentioning him?
Mm-hmm.
Later on, went on to also win an Oscar for Spider-Man 2.
Ralph McQuarrie's production design.
Yeah, whose illustrations were responsible for getting the movie greenlit to begin with.
Mm-hmm.
But I mean, you know, it's like, I still love this movie. Roger Christian, set decorator, who went on to direct Battlefield Earth. I kid you not.
Should I just start calling out names?
Tak Fujimoto. He's a great cinematographer. He's done a lot of Enric Chauvin's movies.
Anyway, which
I've seen a lot of...
There's Dan Fearns going on with
that.
You've
seen a lot of names. Ken Ralston.
So I'm just going to jump in and say...
Why not? Just jump in, Dave.
Yeah, for me, this is between this, E.T., Star Trek 1 and 2, and like Superman. I mean, those are like some of the big movies from when I was growing up. So.
This is my favorite period in film.
Yeah, I mean, this is
like, you know, starting right around here, Jaws, Star Wars.
Yeah, I mean, this kind of
Raiders of the Lost Ark, Superman. It absolutely mm-hmm. does.
Yeah.
Well said. Well said, and I believe I've said my piece more or less.
I mean, I pretty much have.
This is my favorite period of film. Always will be.
Cool.
So, Dave?
I'm good.
Brian?
I'm good.
Okay.
This is Brian, so...
This would be Ronnie Haynes.
Hey, love.